They say, that is Christians and Jews, accept the Jewish or the Christian faith and you shall be rightly guided. Say, by no means. We believe in the faith of Abraham, the upright one. He was no idolater. Notice how Islam describes itself as the faith of Abraham, the patriarch, the founder also of the Jewish faith in the book of Genesis. Say, by no means we believe in the faith of Abraham. Say, we believe in Allah and that which is revealed to us. We believe in what was revealed to Abraham, Ishmael, Isaac, Jacob, and the tribes, to Moses and to Jesus and the other prophets. We make no distinction between any of them, and to Allah we have surrendered ourselves. In other words, Islam sees itself as bringing together, not obliterating, not negating, but upholding the traditions of Judaism, of the biblical traditions, of Christianity. Jesus is also a prophet, but of course Allah is the ultimate prophet. The final seal of prophecy has come about with Allah, with Muhammad and with his relationship to Allah. And therefore, ultimately, we are speaking about a religion which has co-opted, which has brought into its realm the other two religions. Now, there's a long historiographical discussion. Did Christianity have a greater impact upon Judaism, upon Islam than Judaism? And it really breaks down to who's writing it. If Christian historians are writing, clearly Christianity wins the argument. And if Jewish authors are writing, and by the way, from the 19th century on, Jews were dealing with this subject. There's a long history of Jewish historians who were scholars of Islam. The story, you know, who wins the points is really irrelevant here. I don't want to score any victories either for Christianity or Judaism. All I want to say is that clearly both religions play a role. But we still have a problem here. The problem is, can we just pick up the Quran and the Hadith and find the Jewish source and say, aha, this is from the Midrash, this is from the Talmud, and so on? We can't. I said the picture was hazy. Why? Because Muhammad seems to absorb rabbinic culture or Christian culture, but it doesn't come from the sources we have. In other words, the Arabian Peninsula is still a venue of oral culture. Probably he sat around a campfire and spoke to some Jew who told him a story, which sounded like a midrash which was eventually written down, but it's not the same story. In other words, we have many interesting parallels and approximations of rabbinic literature, and that's what all of these scholars have collected. We don't have the exact sources. So in other words, and we also, as I said already, we don't know exactly what kind of Jews were living in Yatrib. Were they Jews who practiced all of Jewish law? Did they read the Talmud? Were they the Jews that we know from Babylonia and so on? We don't know. We don't know the nature of what Jewish culture was like at this precise moment in time. And we also don't know how Muhammad, who obviously got a lot of his sources orally, you know, absorbed these cultural sources into his own new religious matrix that he was creating. So therefore, by approximation, it is clear that the general context is rich here. Christianity and Judaism were now unified into a new cultural form which became Islam. But exactly what are the specific components? What are the specific pieces? How do they all fit together? That is not so clear. So here, of course, is the picture that we have. It's a very interesting one. There's all kinds of suggestions and presuppositions and hypotheses. But clearly a definitive understanding of the relationship between Judaism and Islam at the moment when Muhammad and his first disciples lived is very, very difficult to understand. Let me go then quickly to looking at what is our documentation that comes afterwards. We are going in our next lecture to begin to present the history of Jewish-Muslim encounter from the late 9th and 10th century. Where do we get this material from? And here I want to say a few words now about sources. Clearly, some of the late rabbinic writings could be, maybe some of their interpolations are relevant. Some of the late midrashim, that is the homiletical or the exegetical literature of the rabbis. You will hear later on about the sectarian group called the Karaites in our next lecture, and their sources, their writings also is relevant. But our major source for this period are rabbinical responsa, called in Hebrew shelot u'teshuvot, questions and answers, questions written to rabbis and their legal response. fatwa, perhaps. I mean, again, there is a parallel here between Islam and Judaism.